All right, church family, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles out once again as we begin this second sermon, or third sermon, I believe it is, on untangling ourselves from sin based upon Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Main lesson that we're carrying with us, untangling ourselves from sin requires confession. We've seen that in King David's confession, in cleansing, which we're looking at now. And then we also need to redirect our lives back towards serving the Lord in consecration. And we'll look at that next Sunday. Sin, as you know, poses in many forms. And some of those forms could be compared to a warm, fuzzy puppy. But in reality, sin is like a rabid rat. Deadly. Believe it or not, two girls went to Mexico for a holiday. They smuggled back into America a giant mouse, thinking that it was a puppy. It began wheezing throughout the night, and they just petted this puppy, snuggled up to it to relieve it from its pain. And the next morning, they took it to the vet, who then disclosed to them that it wasn't a fuzzy puppy sick, but a giant rat with rabies. Unassumingly, that is exactly how sin can creep into our lives. It disguises itself as something good, but really, in reality, it brings destruction. And so my question for you this morning, the question for me this morning, are we harboring any puppy-like substances in our lives when it's really just sin? Because sin can pose as a warm, fuzzy puppy, but really it is like a rabid rat, deadly. The virus of sin has infected us all, and we can all fall prey to that virus at any time. But here's the good news, church family. God can cleanse our soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe today some in here needs a good God cleansing of sin. Well, we've learned the first step in taking care of and untangling ourselves from sin in David's confession. Now we're going to move into this next step, cleansing. And here's the reason why we're going to look at cleansing. Number one, it is thoroughly biblical. And secondly, because I believe that within King David, he knew himself. He knew he had a taste for sin, and at any moment, he could indulge himself back in that sinfulness once again. And so he needed to get rid of that taste, sort of like an alcoholic with liquor. So like a drug-addicted person with drugs. He needed to get rid of that taste, and the only way he knew to get rid of that taste was to go to the God who could give him a supernatural cleansing to get rid of it, so he could untangle himself from sin. And so, therefore, King David prays to God to cleanse his heart so that he could be completely untangled from this sin. Are you entangled in sin this morning, church family? Is there a sin in your life that has been eating your grits for a long time? Well, there's good news, and I'm about to give it to you. Do you have ears to hear and eyes to see? Let's look at God's Word together. This morning, we're going to take up King David's cleansing, point number two in our outline. And in King David's cleansing, he wanted the Lord to deal with sin's defilement. We studied that in verse 7. He wanted God to deal with sin's deafness in verse 8. And now, in verse 9, he wanted God to deal with sin's disgrace. In verse 9, the Bible says this: "Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." Blot out my iniquities. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning because this is what we're supposed to do. This is what your word tells us to do. We're so thankful that your word is our guide. in all matters of life. We thank you, Lord, that it is our guide when it comes to sin in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, if you would, this morning, give us ears to hear your word and eyes to see it, that we could understand it, and a taste for the treasure of it, that we would always go back to it for more and more of it. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen and amen. Sin's disgrace. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. When I was a small boy, I was a royal ambassador. Anybody know what that is, right? An RA at Lexington Avenue Baptist Church in High Point, North Carolina, where once a month we would have a rec night, short for recreational activities. Well, one Wednesday night during rec night, my mama had bought me a brand new shirt. And I didn't get a whole lot of new shirts. And so this was a fairly nice shirt my mama bought me. And I wore it that Wednesday night of all nights when we were having rec night. Well, at the front of the church, there was these big steps. They were probably at the tops, probably about 10 foot tall. And in the corners, there were this row of hedges, okay? And if you can imagine that, a row of hedges about 10 foot tall and about, I don't know, 5 or 6 foot wide. Well, us RAs, when we were playing capture the flag or hide and seek or whatever, we made paths that went behind these row of hedges so that we could run back there. And when you'd run back there, you had to be careful not to hit the brick wall because you'd lose some hide sliding up against that thing. Well, I got so excited I didn't miss the brick wall. And you know that new shirt, belly first, went all the way down it. And I came out from behind there, and there were just like these little pulls and rips all the way across it. And I knew that I had messed up royally. So before, when mom come to get me from RAs, I was already, you know what that is, don't you? Snubbing. I was already snubbing. She was, what's wrong, what's wrong? I don't want to talk about it, mom. And so we get home, and she's like, what is wrong with you? And I showed her my new shirt, and mom was just a little bit hot. So my snubbing turns into just the ferocious tears coming down my face. And I run to my room, and I hide my face in my pillow, and I'm just crying to beat the band. And mom comes in there to my room after she had cooled down a little bit. And she took me in her arms, and of course she said, it's okay, don't worry about it. But you know the thing I couldn't do? I couldn't look her in the face. I was disgraced. I was just completely disgraced. That's where King David is. He is dealing with sin's disgrace. And he says to the Father up above, hide your face from my sins. Let me tell you something, church family. If our sin does not disgrace us, there is something wrong with our hearts. Because every sin should disgrace us. That's not a bad thing, church family. That shows that you're spiritually sensitive to the goodness and mercy and grace of God. David says, hide your face from my sin, blot out my iniquities. King David was disgraced. He was ashamed before God. He pleads with God to deal with his disgrace. King David begs God, God, just don't look at me. Just don't look at me right now. I don't deserve your gaze. Restore me, Father. And so that's why he goes to the Lord. Because he knew that even in his disgrace, that God was a God of steadfast love and mercy. And that's why we can do the same thing. Even in our disgrace, when we can't lift our face up before the Father, know that the Father is right there. He's ready to take you in his arms like my mama did, and restore you. That's the good news, isn't it, church family? That's the good news. On February 24th, 2001, a one-year-old girl, a Canadian girl named Erica, wandered out of her house and spent the entire night in the Edmonton winter. When her mother, Miss Norby, found her the next day, Erica appeared to be totally frozen. Her legs were stiff, her body was frozen, all signs of life appeared to be gone. Erica was then taken to the Edmonton Stollery Children's Health Center, where she was resuscitated miraculously. And to everyone's amazement, she was normal. There was no brain deficiency, there was no physical lasting damage, nothing. And so they let her go the same day that she went into the hospital. When Christians backslide, our hearts grow cold to the Lord. You could even say lifeless, like this little girl. But the good news is God, the great physician that He is able to restore the Christian's heart who is disgraced over their sin. Now listen to this. One person said this. It's so good. There is more grace and mercy in God than there is sin in you. And aren't you thankful? Come to God for this soul-cleansing cure of sin's disgrace. God can wipe sin's disgrace completely away. Next thing we see here that David wanted God to deal with when it came to his sin, not only did he want him to deal with sin's disgrace, but he wanted him to deal with sin's damage in verse 10. Look at verse 10 with me, sin's damage. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now, I want to draw your attention to this first word of verse 10, create. Now, you've seen that word in other places in the Scripture. Let me remind you where you saw it. You saw it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let me remind you of that passage. The Bible says there, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, we all know that Genesis tells us that God created ex nihilo, that is, God created everything out of nothing by His efficacious Word. In other words, God created what didn't exist by His Word. He called it forth. David is asking God to do the same thing in his own heart. He knew his heart was utterly sick, beyond repair. And so David's not asking God to revitalize something that was there. No, David has come to the point in his life where he realized that his heart is just despicably sick and he needs a brand new heart. And so he says, "Lord, create," that is, "put in me a new heart." Why? Because the old one wasn't no good. And he knew that that old heart was still tainted with sin's taste. And unless God gave him a new heart, then he would fall back into that old, old sin. You see, sin had damaged his heart so bad that that heart had no hope. It was just too badly broken. And so he wanted God to give him a brand new heart. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Have you ever dealt with a sin so long that it just didn't feel like it could be fixed unless God did something supernatural? And the supernatural thing that God can do is give us a brand new heart with new desires, new tastes, and new wants. But just like David, we have to go to the Lord and ask, "Lord, cleanse me by giving me a brand new heart that I can untangle myself from sin." Now imagine you're holding a cup of coffee. Someone bumps into you, causing you to spill what's in your cup. Did you spill tea? Did you spill milk? Did you spill orange juice? No, what did you spill? Coffee. Why? Because it was coffee that was in your cup. When David saw Bathsheba, what was in the cup of his heart spilled out. And what spilled out was not godly, was not holy, nor was it righteous. Guess what it was? David. That's exactly what it was. And David knew that next time that his eyes bumped into a beautiful woman, the very same thing may come spilling out. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Oh, that we would pray that every day. Oh, that before we left our homes, we would be so in touch with who we are, we'd know when our heart gets bumped what would come out, and it's less than what God would want. And so we would just start our days, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Because inevitably, church family, whatever's in you, whatever's in me, at some point when we get bumped, guess what's going to come out? Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Sin's effect, it damages us, church family. Sin never brings any good. It damages us. The next effect of sin that David asked the Lord to deal with is sin's doom. You see, doom comes from damage. And in verse 11, we see this. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Now, even for a New Testament believer, sin's doom is very real. But for an Old Testament believer, it was even more precarious. Now, this is what I mean. If you recall, God had taken the Holy Spirit from King Saul. You remember that? Why did God take the Holy Spirit away from King Saul? Because King Saul had sinned against the Lord. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 and following, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, 'Behold now, a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you.'" So God had cast, if you will, King Saul aside. He took the kingdom from King Saul and gave it to who? David. Now, who was it that called David to play music when this spirit tormented him? Saul did. King Saul called David. David knew exactly what it looked like when God withdrew the Holy Spirit from someone. And so he says here, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit away from me." And in brackets, we could say, like you did King Saul. I don't want to be that man, God. It is awful to be absent. To be without the Holy Spirit within me. Now, I think I may know what some of you are thinking at this point. And that is, well, we're not Old Testament believers. No, we're not Old Testament believers. Uh-uh. And the Holy Spirit was given and taken away in the Old Testament. But we know as New Testament believers, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Which means that's how we know we're saved. We're born again of the Holy Spirit. So, at no point in our Christian life will God take the Holy Spirit from us. Because if He took the Holy Spirit from us, then He would be removing that seal, and it would be like we weren't saved anymore. And that's not what God does in the New Testament. And you say, well, then why are we studying this, Pastor David? For this very reason. God may not take away the Holy Spirit from us, but we'll quench it. And that's just like God removing the Holy Spirit. And when we have not the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Word doesn't mean anything to us. And we'll go our own way and live our own way. And so Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, "Do not quench the Spirit." That's a warning he gives to believers who live in an unrepentant, sinful lifestyle. You quench the Holy Spirit. So this is the word of warning for us, church family, if we don't want to come under the effect of sin's doom. We need to realize that when we live in a habitual sinful lifestyle, we become useless to the kingdom of God because we can no longer be directed by the Spirit of God. And we become His castaways. And David says, "Cast me not away. Let me be useful for the kingdom of God." And so we need to be careful, church family, that we do not quench the Holy Spirit. Because I've heard Christians say crazy things when they have quenched the Holy Spirit. Crazy, crazy things. So sin, as Paul says, can make a shipwreck of our faith. So sin's doom is just as real to us today as it was to King David. And we need to be careful of that. You say, "Can you give me a New Testament example?" And certainly can. I knew you would ask. If you want to, you can turn to Acts chapter 5 in your Bibles. It's probably a very familiar passage to you. This is when the New Testament church was young. And we come across this in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to give you a synopsis of it. And once I say these two names, Ananias and Sapphira, it'll come flooding in your memories what I'm talking about. They were members. They were born again believers. And they were members of a New Testament church where they had some land. They sold that land. And in the process, they kept back part of the proceeds. And though they said they gave all the proceeds to the church. And then Peter comes to Ananias and says this, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?" Now let me stop right here at this point. Sometimes we think that in the cloak of privacy we can hide our sin, but let me tell you who's looking all the time. You can't hide anything from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is there with us. He is right there. And if we're not careful, He will say once and for all, "Okay, enough, you've quenched me." He goes on to say, "While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." You see, we cannot get away with sin. So when Ananias heard these words, God zapped him dead. No, he did not lose his salvation, but he lost his usefulness for the kingdom of God, and God just took him home. Now you say, "Well, what about Sapphira?" Well, same thing happened to her. Not long after she comes in, she's tested too, and she fails the test and falls down dead right there. And it says, great fear went throughout all the brotherhood because of this. Great fear. And it should. Ananias and Sapphira bit into the doom of sin, and God took them out. Wade Martin shares these words with us, and it's so true. He says, "Sin will, number one, take you farther than you planned on going. Number two, keep you longer than you planned on staying. And number three, cost you more than you planned on paying." But church family, let me say that there's some good news. Amen. God can cleanse us. He can give us a new heart. He can heal us. And He can still use us for His glory and for His kingdom. God can cleanse us from sin's doom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next thing we see is sin's depression. Sin's depression. In verse 12, we see this. This is the effect of sin that David is asking God to cleanse him from, sin's depression. The Bible says this, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Why does he need it to be restored? Because it was gone. There was no joy left in his salvation. It was eat up with the darkness of his heart. And he says, "And uphold me with a willing spirit." I truly believe this, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it right now. Christians who live an unrepented, sinful lifestyle, I believe, are some of the most unhappy Christians that I know. I just believe that. Why? Because I was one of them. That's why. King David was one of them too. His sin had brought this depression, his loss of joy, it was gone. And so he appeals to God for spiritual medicine. He asks God to restore the joy of his salvation and keep him from ever going back to that sinful lifestyle. He says, uphold in me a willing spirit. What? A willing spirit for what? A willing spirit to serve and obey the Lord. That's what. That's the kind of willing spirit he wanted, and that's the kind of willing spirit we need as well. Dr. Phillips writes, much of the depression in the lives of Christians today is caused by sin. It may be flagrant sin, hidden away somewhere in the past, gnawing away at the conscience. It may be something spitefully said, some fit of temper indulged, or some lie told. Sin causes depression. You know, on a personal note, I can remember being a student at Appalachian State University, and I was living far from the will of God. I was outside the circle of God's blessing. Happily so, at least I thought for a while. And I can remember falling under the thick, dark cloak of depression. And why? Because God was working on me. I knew what I was doing was not in His will, and yet I continued to do it, continued to walk further and further away from Him, living an unrepentant lifestyle of sin. And it just got to the point where I was so depressed, I was just ready to let it all go. I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't take it anymore. There was no joy in the Lord. There was no joy in the darkness of sin, because sin will take you farther than you want to go, and sin will cost you more than you're willing to give. And that's true not only for my life, it's true for your life. It was true for King David's life. And he was depressed. It affected him mentally and spiritually. Just like it will you, just like it did me. But here's the good news, church family. Are you ready for the good news? God can untangle us from sin's depression. He can untangle us from that. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that God didn't turn his back on me and walk away, but he came to me in the darkest of hours and said, buddy, you're going the wrong way. It's time to turn around. Or things are going to end up a whole lot worse than you think. I'm so thankful that God comes to us in our hour of deepest depression and gives us a hand up. Do you believe sin sickens the body? Listen to this story. Now you got to listen close or you'll miss it. Okay, so listen real close here. Mother calls, dinner is ready. Mom, dad, brother, and sister sit down to this wonderful meal that mom has just prepared. And everything's fine until brother asks, dad, can I use the car tonight? Sister says, no, you can't use the car tonight. You used the car last night. It's my turn to use the car tonight. Brother then says to his sister, oh, you shut up. I wasn't talking to you anyway. Dad says, don't use those words, shut up. We don't speak that way in our home. Brother says to dad, she started it. Then dad shouts, listen, you kids, I said shut up. And then mother says, you just told them not to say shut up. Then dad says to mom, you shut up. I can just see this happening, can't you? Some of you are going, oh boy, he's been in my house. I haven't been watching. Just like that, food got cold. They all left the dinner table and went to their different places in the house. About 30 minutes later, one of them yelled, does anybody know where the Pepto-Bismol is? Sin affects us physically. It will eat our grits, church family. And if you don't believe me, look at someone's grits it's eaten. Sin will mess with us. It will chew us up. It will spit us out. And it will keep walking over us. But the good news is, God can cleanse us from our sin. Hallelujah! Amen? Some of you guys need a cleansing today. Maybe so. Maybe you need that spiritual Pepto-Bismol of God's cleansing. Well, we've seen the effect of sin. David confesses his sins in verses 1 through 6. And then David gets this cleansing where he asks the Lord to deal with the effects of this sinful lifestyle. Sin's defilement, its deafness, its disgrace, its damage, its doom, and its depression. That's the pattern that all God's people should follow when it comes to untangling ourselves from sin. Now, this is my last story, Oregon, Miss Claire and Miss Mary, wherever you are. This is my last story, so listen up. Sometimes we need a little bit of heaven on earth, don't we? We really do. Let me tell you about Joni, Erickson, Tada, who needed just a little bit of heaven around 2 a.m. Now, if you don't know Joni Erickson Tada, Joni Erickson Tada is a prolific Christian speaker, Christian author, beautiful soul, who at a young age broke her neck and is paralyzed from her shoulders down. She can't move anything. She can move her head, and God has used her wonderfully. But this is a story about that she shares. Ken, her husband, she writes, was snoring softly beside me, not aware that I was biting my lip to keep from waking him up. The combination of my paralysis with the middle of the night insomnia always makes me feel claustrophobic. But this was different. The pain in my neck and shoulders was searing. I tried to move my head on the pillow, but was stopped short by a razor-sharp stab in the back of my neck. She prays, "Oh God, I need to reposition, but I haven't the heart to wake up Ken. He only has a few hours before his alarm goes off, yet I cannot tolerate this pain. Please, I can't live like this. Help me." She says, "I began to breathe deeply and recite a hymn. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace." She said, "The next thing I knew, it was morning. Ken was off to work, and my girlfriend had arrived to get me up. And when I told her about my rough night, she replied, quote, "I bet you can't wait for heaven." To which Joni looked at her friend and said, quote, "I just experienced a small piece of it," unquote. As King David experienced the cleansing of God, I just think it must have been like a small piece of heaven on earth. Easing the searing, razor-sharp jab of sin's defilement, its disgrace, its damage, its doom, and its depression. And the good news is this, church family. For anyone in here today who is feeling that razor-sharp jab of sin, God can bring cleansing to our sin-sick souls. I don't know a better place to leave you, church family, than right there in the arms of a Heavenly Father who has more grace to give than you have sin to live. Don't you just love Him? He is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are wonderful. You are marvelous. You are perfect. You are perfect when You cleanse us. You cleanse us perfectly. You don't leave a little dab in there, but You make us as white as snow. And so we thank You, Lord. And I pray today, Father, that if there is someone here that needs the Heavenly Father, that they will place their faith in Jesus Christ, ask for forgiveness of their sins and repent, and be adopted into your forever family even right now. And Father, whoever that is here or online listening, I pray, God, that they would make that public. That they would let the whole world know that they are your child. Lord, whatever's going on in this church family's life, Father God, meet us there, we pray. Heal us, we pray. Encourage us, we pray. That we may, in all things, bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.